Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. You know, with all the demands on our time and space, it can be hard to squeeze in daily prayer and devotions. I think most parents would agree that having kids makes it even exponentially harder. Here with us now is Nancy Banzich, who founded Catholic Sprouts, along with her husband Bill, to give us some tips around creating a prayer space in our homes. Welcome, Nancy. Good to have you back on the program.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all the good work that you do. So, talking about creating a prayer space in our homes, why don't you start us off by giving us a sense of why place or space matters when it comes to prayer?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's one of those things that we can kind of easily forget or, you know, get to the end of the day and be laying in bed and think, oh, we did all of these things today, but we didn't do that. And so it's like with anything, we need a little bit of extra reminder. You know, I remember as a little girl when I would make a Lenten resolution, my mom would encourage us to put something in a different place, you know, to maybe put our toothbrush in a different bathroom. So it was like this weird thing where you're like, oh, it's different now. That's right. I made this Lenten resolution. I'm going to remember. And so I think the same is true with making a prayer space in our home. If you walk by your little prayer corner, your prayer table, or whatever it might be, something small, it's that sort of gentle reminder that you said this was important. You said you were going to do it. So let's do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, I mean, especially in a house with kids, we're expecting our six, so we know about a house packed with kids and kids stuff, is that distraction is, like, all around us, you know? It's really hard to find the physical space, to be free from distraction, or at least a little bit more free from distraction, mm-hmm. so that you can pray, you mm-hmm. know? And if we're sitting down to pray in the midst of, you know, annoying toys or, you know, a screen that's on or a to-do or a project that we're in the middle of doing, you know, it's almost impossible to get out of that mindset and to focus on God himself. So it's just a reminder that this is something we have decided to do and also an opportunity to be free from distraction for a little
right.
while.
Yeah, when you talk about distractions, I mean, I think we can all relate to
yeah.
that's something that comes into our prayer life on a regular basis, especially if
yeah.
we are attempting to pray from home, because
yeah.
there are so many things that present themselves to us as distractions during our prayer time.
Yeah.
All right, so you've come out with a virtual guide to creating this place of prayer in our homes. Can you, I don't want to steal away from the thunder of that, but I do want to, you mentioned like the toothbrush thing and doing something, you know, just different a little bit. Can you give us a couple of tips and insights as to how would you do that within the context of your own home?
Totally. So the whole reason, like the biggest reason why we did this is not because there's like a certain way to set up a prayer space in a home. When I was a new mom, I kind of thought there was, you know, kind of looking for like the 10 tips so that I could do it. The reason we did it is because there's, first of all, no one right way to do it. And what I think is so helpful is to see how other people were creative in creating a prayer space.
Yeah,
because
sure.
of course we all want like a free room in our house to make a chapel, but I mean, we don't even have enough bedrooms for our children right now, you know, like
right.
No one really lives that reality. So we all have to get creative. And it's just beautiful to see, especially, you know, people living in apartments, people, you know, in all sorts of situations, still able to create a prayer space. So really, the big bulk of our prayer guide are pictures from people in our community that have gone through the effort of setting up a prayer space. And just seeing their ideas and how you can take like an end table in your living room and that can be your prayer space.
Mm.
For a long time, we simply used one shelf on a bookcase that was our prayer space. You know, people have used windowsills or even just put a small table, next in like in their entryway and hung things on the wall in front
sure.
of it. So, you know, I think, you know, the devil likes to get us stuck. so that we don't make progress in these areas. And so I think a big sticking point for us is like, oh, I don't have the right materials, or I don't have the right space, or I want to get this little home project done before I set up a prayer space. And our whole goal is just to help people get unstuck, you know, realize you can set something up right now. And even if it, you know, is replaced later or moved later, like, that's fine. But do something right now, even if it's simple. Even if you don't have, you know, a crucifix to put there now, you can have your child draw one and hang it up. And it's still a beautiful thing to look at and meditate upon, you know, that we don't have to have, we don't have to spend money. We don't have to clear out a room. We can just have something now. And it can
Right. You're not talking about some kind of major renovation here. You're not talking about putting in a full-on chapel in your home, but it's a space that is designated for prayer and has some reminders of why we pray there. That's what it sounds like to me. And I think it's a great idea to be sharing ideas around this thing. So we're not all doing it the same way, maybe, but there's some ideas that might work well in some people's homes, and they want to share that. Yeah. Wonderful.
So we can give ourselves permission to just make it imperfect and make it simple.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a parent talking right there.
Well, I think parents need that as much as anybody, you know? You have this idea of like a perfect home and a perfect family. And even though life is not perfect, it's really hard to let go of those things. It's really hard.
Yeah.
In every way.
It really is. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you, Nancy, if it's not too personal, as you've been endeavoring to do this in your own home, what have been your children's responses to a designated prayer space? Has it really helped in terms of focusing them?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think it's just, first of all, it's easy. The thing that goes along with having a prayer space is having a prayer time, you know? And I just think it's so much easier. You're not going to have to fight all of the battles every single day. If it's just understood that this is when we pray, this is where we pray, you know, and eventually you get to the point where it's understood, like, this is how we pray. And so in our family, we gather, it's like the last thing that we do once kids are in jammies and teeth are brushed, and we all gather and we pray a rosary together. And I'm not going to claim it's perfect, and we're disciplining while doing it, certainly, but we've been doing it for so long in the same place, and the rosaries are right there waiting for us. And, you know, we have an image of the Blessed Mother and Jesus on the cross to look at, you know, even if I have to continually be reminding my squirrely 5-year-old to do that. You know, it's just the routine of it, not having to explain or pull kids to where they need to be every night, because they know, you know, you're in your pajamas, your teeth are clean. A lot of times we'll find them there waiting for us, you know.
That's great.
You know, working, you know, putting baby down or whatever it is that's happening before that.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, it is hard to pray. And I'm not going to say that I haven't lost my temper, you know, this week in prayer with our family.
That's honest.
I just think we do ourselves so many favors by setting it as a cornerstone of our day and by demonstrating to our children that it is immovable, you know, like, yep, we were at our friend's house late, you know, for a bonfire or whatever. It's way past bedtime. We still do this, you know, even if we're going to be more tired, even if I'm crabby too, we still do it. You know, I think having a place and also just having the kids know what we do. And I think when, you know, we've been at this for a long time, and we certainly did not start praying the rosary. And so for people that are just starting, just, you know, be gentle with yourself. There are shorter prayers. When we were just getting into, before we prayed the rosary for a long time, we prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet together as a family, which is much shorter and a very simple prayer for kids to learn quickly and lead. So I encourage people, if they're, you know, sort of getting their feet wet with established prayer time, to start that. It's also a very beautiful prayer. It's one of my favorites. So, you know, be gentle with yourself. Allow your kids to share what they like and what they want to do. we've also, our kids are, our oldest just turned 10, so we're in the era where they really like reading, you know. We also try to read the daily gospel, which is a really beautiful practice to do as a family, and then just ask, you know, what did you hear? Give kids an opportunity to share what they heard, and they have the most beautiful insights. I love that. So anyways, just allowing children to read the gospel to the family can be just a really, you know, if you just did that, if you just gathered at a certain place, had your oldest proclaim the gospel to the family, and you all shared what you heard, and then you share petitions, you know, that that's such a powerful thing to do as a family. And it, it is hard to get there, but then doing it is not as hard as you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what it's certainly, you're making it sound that way. And I appreciate the honesty of saying that, yes, we still are impatient. We still lose our tempers. Yeah. We still might be crabby about something, but I love the priority that you put on this, Nancy, and a lot of great suggestions there. Where can people go to find out more about this virtual guide and to find out more about Catholic Sprouts, Nancy?
Sure. So we're Catholic Sprouts. You can find us online at catholicsprouts.com. The big thing that we offer for families is we offer a free daily podcast, which is also called Catholic Sprouts, and it's on all the places where you find a podcast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everywhere. And the reason we do that is because I know how hard it is to catechize your children when you're busy and when someone's always, you know, mom at your side. So we listen to the daily podcast every day. It's just about 5 minutes so that I can feel good about catechizing my own children. And if you need a little help with that, feel free to tune in. It's just 5 minutes a day. So we talk about all sorts of different things, from saint stories to Bible stories to theology, but it's all aimed for the whole family. So that's called Catholic Sprouts as well.
All right. Catholic Sprouts, catholicsprouts.com. Yep. Very good. Well, Nancy, some great tips here, and we're grateful for your continued work in this and helping us all to build really faith-filled families. God bless you and your work, and thanks for being on the program today, Nancy.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Again, that's catholicsprouts.com. Go and check it out. And there could be some very good ideas there for helping build the faith in your family. Right after this short break that we're going into right now, we're going to maintain the momentum of great faith ideas as we'll share with you some happenings around the local church designed to enrich your practice of the faith. We'll be right back.